The Middle East has the highest number of unemployed young people in the world. At the same time, there are more educated young Arabs than ever before, and that has created a revolution of rising expectations, as well as rising amounts of trouble for Arab governments. NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Saudi Arabia's capital, Riyadh.
This familiar music fuels the dreams of 27-year-old Jihad Abdullah Alamar.
I really wanted to be able to work on something that I'm interested in. It's also, you have probably more of a chance to actually change the world.
His big dreams include real plans. Amar created a web startup company, Saudi Arabia's first online service that offers reviews from restaurants to sports outlets.
We aim to allow people to make better consumer decisions.
And this is completely new in Saudi.
It is.
He studied computer science at a U.S. university and came home with the drive to succeed in one of the world's richest countries, but his prospects are poor. Amar says there's little government support or private capital for young Saudi entrepreneurs.
Of course, it's one of the most important ways to create jobs, is to allow people to start new businesses and add value to the economy.
The kingdom has an alarming rate of youth unemployment. So 5 years ago, Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah launched a reform program that includes scholarships for Saudis to study abroad, 100,000 students to learn new skills. But some of that talent has already been wasted, says Robert Lacey, the author of a new book on Saudi Arabia.
You're getting this phenomenon of professional Saudi students abroad who rack up the MAs and the PhDs because they don't want to come home, because they know there's no jobs.
Those who do return are discouraged, says Saudi commentator Khalid Dakhil.
You cannot just open the country, send the kids outside to educate, and then just tell them, well, nothing has changed. You cannot do that.
For one example, here at the food court in one of the busiest shopping malls in the Saudi capital, there are very few Saudis behind the counter at the McDonald's, the fish and chips, and the donut shop. The work is done by expats, foreign workers, and it's not just at the low end of the pay scale. At the top end, doctors, engineers, professors, and project managers are also likely to come from outside the kingdom. And some Saudis say this just doesn't make sense.
To me, that is a most incomprehensible anomaly.
That's Prince Turki Al-Faisal, a former diplomat, ex-head of Saudi intelligence. He says the kingdom employs more than 8 million imported workers.
How, within this 8.5 million workers here, we can't find a slot for 2 million Saudis out of work is simply incomprehensible.
It makes perfect sense for private business, says economist Abdulaziz Alawashik. Imported labor is routinely paid less, from one-third to one-half of the wages that Saudi university graduates expect and demand.
So these workers are more skilled and cheaper. So, of course, being rational, most businesses would hire these foreign workers.
In a spacious bank headquarters, another economist examines the unemployment rates. Officially, at more than 10% for males, for male college graduates, the number jumps to 44%.
I'm John Sfakianakis, chief economist, Bank Saudi Francie.
He says the Saudi economy produced more than 800,000 new jobs in 2009, more than enough.
So the problem in Saudi Arabia is not that you're not creating enough jobs. You're creating enough jobs, but they happen to go to foreigners.
How long is that sustainable?
Well, I don't think it's sustainable even today. I do agree that they should act, because that's the biggest challenge. In fact, it's a national security challenge.
A challenge to national security, he says, because Egypt and Tunisia have changed the definition of stability in the Middle East. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Riyadh.